Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You can't starve us out, and you can't make us run. We're here to fight the New World Order, and our fight has just begun. I had him on for an hour last week. It wasn't enough time. We're going to talk about 30 minutes today and then take calls for the second half of the show coming up in 30 minutes. In fact, that toll-free number to join us on air, any issue, the JFK assassination, the fait accompli, the coup de grace, admitted that the government killed him now, and, of course, Colonel Roberts' book, written many years ago, turned out to be one of the most accurate, if not the most accurate, out there, according to one of the top hitmen's own confessions. E. Howard Hunt. We can talk about Oklahoma City, which I want to do first. The new developments there with Jesse Trinidad, the lawyer whose brother was tortured to death. And we'll also get into all the police state activities that are happening. I've got a clip we're going to play later in New York a few weeks ago where the police are telling people to turn their cameras off first. And they say no. And then they say, you're our public servants. And they say, no, we don't serve the public. And I have cops on video in the black Darth Vader outfits out there with the machine guns as if that's going to stop a real terrorist, you know, with a truck bomb or something. Even if they did exist, it's ridiculous. It's intelligence that would do that. Action on the ground preemptively. But side issue, it's just amazing. And they just go, no, we don't serve you. No, I don't serve you. No, we don't serve the public. So quite a corner to turn. Of course, Craig Roberts was a lieutenant colonel in the Army, worked in intelligence. He, of course, was a Marine Corps sniper in Vietnam. Well-decorated, and, of course, wrote a best-selling book about it, one of the premier experts in sniping. And a lot of the techniques he then codified in that book have been adopted. And, of course, he was then also on the SWAT team there in the city he lived in Oklahoma. And at the same time, he, of course, investigated the Oklahoma City bombing and exposed a lot of that. Also a helicopter pilot for the police department there in Tucson, and was in quite a crash. We began to tell that crash story one time. And that's basically that. But just out of the gates, Craig, it's good to have you on with us.
Tulsa, not Tucson.
Tucson, I know. Arizona. Hey, listen, I'm having problems with my brain today. I was up till 3 again working.
Yeah, I got to watch you like a hawk.
No, you worked in Egypt for the Ayatollah of Japan.
Well, that was just before I was a Mexican admiral in the Portuguese Navy.
I know. As soon as I said Tucson, I knew that was Arizona. Whatever. Tulsa. Hey, Tulsa and Tucson. You can see how you get those.
Some place with a T and a U in there somewhere.
Hey, let's get serious here for a minute. I'm going to play this video later. You haven't seen it, but what do you think of cops in New York when people politely say, "Hey, don't you work for us? Don't you work for the people?" And they go, "No, we don't work for the people. We're not public servants."
Well, you know, there are some cities that just absolutely flabbergast me on how some of their officers talk to the public and get away with it and have for years. You wouldn't get away with that here. That wouldn't happen in a heartbeat in the central part of the United States because...
That wouldn't happen in Tucson?
Well, I don't know about Tucson.
I'm joking. It's a joke.
And do you tell jokes? I didn't know you that. Anyway,
I'm doing it now with you.
Anyway, you and I are the only guys on your show that ever have any fun with it. Everybody else is so serious it gives people like, you know, bad dreams and heart attacks. But we lighten it up because we know we end up winning in the end. And you got to do that. We found out in combat, if you lose your sense of humor, then you're going to lose. Period. You got to keep your sense of humor up and all this stuff because that's the gasoline that drives everything else. Keep your morale up.
Well, exactly. I'll get real serious, but then next I'll joke around because you've got to. I mean, that really does fuel everything.
Oh, it does. You've got to, because if you don't keep maintaining a sense of humor, you go nuts with this stuff. It's like you said before. It is so serious right now. It's incredible. And so many things are happening all at once, it just makes you feel like you're overwhelmed and surrounded. But like old Chesty Puller used to say in the Marine Corps, I like them to surround me because I can attack in any direction.
Exactly. Colonel Roberts, stay there. Let's come back, get into Oklahoma City. We ran out of time last week to cover the new developments there that you've been all over in the middle of for years since it happened 12 years ago. And then we'll get into the geopolitical scene, what's happening with the dollar. We'll get into all these food recalls, the mad cow, the botulism, because you've researched all of it. And we'll take calls. Stay with us.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's here after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent GCN Health News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 GCN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to GCN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply set aside for GCN listeners, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. That's www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Best-selling author of One Shot, One Kill, he's written many other books that have done quite well, like The Medusa File, just an expert analysis of a large chunk of history with the New World Order. You literally can't put it down. It's a thick book, but it's broken into sections. We carry that at InfoWars.com. Also, his book on the JFK assassination, Kill Zone, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. And that's available right now on InfoWars.com as well. There's been new Oklahoma City developments since I last had him on. And to just briefly recap those for the listeners, Jesse Trinidou found out his brother died in the federal prison, in the federal jail. And when he got him, they were trying to cremate him. He'd been tortured from end to end. I mean, electrical burns, cuts, his throat slit, just every inch of him was black and blue. And it was because he looked like somebody who the feds believed was John Doe number two, including even the dragon tattoo. And I remember years ago, Craig Roberts had mentioned this case, and even when he mentioned it, I wasn't aware of what he was talking about. That was probably 5, 6 years ago. Then about 3 years ago, Trinity broke a lot of this news nationally in the papers up in Salt Lake City where he lives. And he was able to sue the federal government. He was able to get in. They wouldn't let the media get in to see Terry Nichols, but he was able to get in because he was a lawyer, and Nichols requested and said that he would be his counsel. And he did a deposition and said, look, McVeigh was a Fed. He'd been brought into covert operations and sheep-dipped. He had said that they were going to bomb a building, that they changed it to OKC because it had a daycare, and that he was tracking the militias, and that he was part of a secret assassination squad, and that they were basically creating front groups, you know, going around creating a ledger, as Craig Roberts had said, with the white supremacist in Elohim City and Andre Strassmeyer, the known CIA operative. A classic operation. He went to Waco, he went to gun shows, he was, you know, trying to create a history of being with that rising patriot movement that they wanted to demonize by binding up with bank robbers and white supremacists that it has nothing to do with in 95% of the cases. And so that all broke, and it turned out that Nichols tried to go in 2004 to John Ashcroft to give him all this info, and Ashcroft responded by putting a media gag order on Terry Nichols. So, Craig Roberts, first off, just nutshell from your research, working that on the case, doing detective work on the case, walk us through in a nutshell what really happened, as if we're laymen, and then get into the more complex issues of Oklahoma City, and then bring us up to speed on what this new info means and how it hooks into the larger investigation, and if it brings in any more clarity to an already pretty clear picture, despite some of the black op smokescreens of what really happened.
Well, you know, there's so many things that happened all at once. It was incredible. I'd never seen a case like it before, because it was like you're standing in the middle of a crossroads and all these rabbit trails ran off every direction, and they all seemed to be coming to the same spot, but they weren't necessarily connected to each other. That was Oklahoma City. Of course, you know, we all know the initial deal on at 9:02 a.m. on the 19th of April, 1995. There was a reported gas explosion in Oklahoma City. It later became a car bomb. Then it became a truck bomb. Then it became a bigger truck bomb. And then it was a moving van bomb, and so on down the line. And on that Wednesday, I was on my way to work. And had seen the first incident on the news, and then picked up the rest after I got to work. And our bomb squad called us and wanted to know if we'd fly the helicopter down there and take their bomb robot down to the ruins to help look for more devices and stuff. But as it turned out, the robot was too big to fit in our helicopter, so we ended up hooking them up with the National Guard with the Black Hawk. So I didn't get in on it until Friday, when I was notified by the local FBI office that they asked if I could help and track down any leads that I might come up with on this thing, because they didn't really have anything.
Now, to be clear, people will say, oh, that means the FBI is good, or that means Roberts is in with them. No, the FBI is compartmentalized. They're good people in there in local offices. Go ahead.
Right, and I knew a couple of the guys here in the local office. I'd worked with them in the past, and they were pretty heads-up guys. But the problem was later, jumping ahead, and I'll have to jump around on this because that's the way the case worked, is that all of the local offices got compartmentalized out of the case, and they brought other people in who spent all of their time doing cover-ups and creating a massive paperwork that just obscured everything and intimidating witnesses and destroying evidence. We watched this happen over and over and over again, and they created trails that went off to no place. And in fact, I even talked to the guy I was assigned to work with, and one day, this is, you know, a few months in the investigation, and I said, look, I said, I'm seeing a repeat here, like a blueprint operation. I said, let me ask you something. I said, in 1963, when Kennedy was assassinated, the Dallas office of the FBI was sent by the Washington office hither and on to interview all kinds of people who had nothing to do with anything and just generate a lot of paperwork and make it look like there's this huge investigation going on. You know, it's like Agent so-and-so go out to Denton, Texas and interview Aunt Matilda and find out what she was doing and saw that day. I mean, it's just nonsense stuff.
And that's a tactic, because then the media gets all those FBI files and then goes down rabbit trails.
Yeah, and they can't find anything. I mean, like Trinidad's got to go through 10,000 documents to find one that means anything, because of all this junk that they generate. Makes it look. They say the biggest investigation we ever did to date, and we got, you know, 20 billion pieces of paper or whatever. Well, yeah, I mean, anybody can do that, but it doesn't mean anything. You know, what's the meat of the matter? Well, I asked him. I said, "Is this the same thing that's happened in Oklahoma City?" He looked at me and he said, "Pretty much." So basically,
an FBI agent.
Yeah, they were relegated to do other things, stay out of the way, or investigate stuff that really was inconsequential. I was not handcuffed like that. And he told me with a kind of a wink and a nod. He says, "You keep driving on, you're going the right direction." Because I was turning, you know, everything I found out, I'd give them copies of. Well, the one thing they wanted me to do was check on McVeigh. find out if he'd ever been to Oklahoma, who he'd been with, anything, had he camped out here on a campground, had he attended any militia meetings, all this sort of stuff. And, cause he, by then,
Now let's explain why your department sent you. You were somewhat of a celebrity with all these best-selling books and books on espionage, and you'd already, had all sorts of different things go on in the past, so that's why they sent you.
Well, interestingly, my department didn't send me. The FBI requested me.
Okay, that's right.
Directly, and I had just got back from Washington the week before, from testifying before Congress for the Second Amendment and against Brady II, and because of that, the liberal chief of police we had at the time was extremely irritated with me, but, I had 20-something years on. I really didn't care. I had 26 years on at that time, and I was kind of a loose cannon anyways, not that anybody would believe that. And we had just had a running gun battle in the newspaper about several issues, and I ended up winning in the end. But in the end, when you're not the chief of police, you don't really win. They hammer you with something else. Well, it's a week later, here the FBI calls me personally, because they had, the chief of station here had read Killzone, and he'd read a couple other of my books, and Medusa File wasn't out yet. And he said, look, he says, you've got contacts we can't even buy. He said, you can go places we can't go. And out in the Patriot community, these people I already know respect you. He said, can you, check around and see what you can find out about this McVeigh character? Because we've got him in jail in Perry, but we don't know anything about him. And, cause this is just day three. This is on Friday. And I said, well, I will if you'll do one thing. I said, you're going to have to go through the chief's office, and you're going to have to get me officially assigned to the case. And that's the smartest thing I ever did, because it would come back to haunt me later when I started turning over rocks that they didn't want turned over. So I officially got assigned to the case, and I still had to do my regular job and then work that on the side. But, when you're a helicopter pilot, you're on the ground a lot, so I was able to. And it was the infancy of the Internet then, too, and I was able to make some contacts on the Internet with people, and they started putting the information out. And some of the things that went out were I put out information, if you know anything about this case, not just McVeigh, or we didn't even know Nichols yet, I said, or anything else, I said, anything at all, I don't care who you are, if you want to remain anonymous, here's my office phone number. Call me. If you don't want to talk to the feds, you can talk to me. I'll do an anonymous report and turn it over to them for whatever it's worth. And then we'll go from there, because I know some people would talk to me, but they don't want their name. They're afraid, So this went out, and about a week and a half later, interestingly enough, I got a phone call. And the guy said that he was a federal agent, but he wasn't FBI and he wasn't CIA, which left IRS and DEA. Said he was in Little Rock, and that if I looked real close, the answer to the case would come on what happened the first hour or the second hour or whatever it was on day one. And I said, what are you talking about? And he says, well, look up what happened then. He said, the whole thing revolves around what was in the building. And I'm thinking people or offices, he said, we did an investigation on the Clintons and on the Iran-Contra stuff and the cocaine smuggling. He says, and all those records were taken to Oklahoma City. He says, what happened on day one? I says, well, they pulled everybody back after they said they found another device.
Well, there's video news footage of them running out with those filing cabinets.
Yeah, but pulling out files and putting them on these box ambulances. He said, that's what you need to look at.
Yeah, they weren't even getting victims. They were running out with files.
They pulled everybody back and left victims trapped in the rubble. And the only reason we know that this happened for sure is there's a fireman up on the sixth floor who didn't come down, and he saw all this happen, and he reported it later. So that was, because you ask why all of a sudden does the Justice Department decide they really don't want to pursue this case beyond Nichols and McVeigh? And I think the answer is, if you did, you'd have to go find out what these files were. Why were they so important?
Now, let's be clear. People always get confused. Like with 9/11, they say, well, why would they blow those up? Oh, they did it for records. Or was it for insurance? Or was it for war? They also pick places to carry out false flag events where it also aids them in getting rid of something else, too.
Absolutely, and
they cluster things.
I had a member of the Israeli Defense Intelligence Agency come and talk to me. He happened to be in Tulsa at that time, and called me, and he said, "Hey," he said, "I need to talk to you." And I went over there, and he plugged in a videotape showing building after building after building in the Middle East that had been blown up the same way to get rid of what was inside of them that we've never seen in this country. This happens over there all the time. He says, if the Middle Easterners are involved in this, and this is the key I want to make, because sometimes we get shunted off into this Elohim City false deal, but He said, if Middle Easterners are involved in this, they'll take down the whole building to get rid of what's inside it. He says, this is an exact mark of Hezbollah or Islamic Jihad, and he named off several others.
And again, we've got the Black Ops Squad. The Clintons have got Arabs on the scene who have been brought in by Bush and Clinton from the Iraq War. We've got the white supremacist link, all a smokescreen. Stay there. We'll be right back.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
I don't mind that I'm getting older, but my wrinkles made me too nervous to smile. It was those fine lines that formed around my cheeks and mouth, and those crow's feet over by my eyes. People were starting to think I looked unhappy, but really I was just embarrassed by those wrinkles. Then I heard about a product called Tautinol. Tautinol is a serum that goes directly on the skin to support collagen and reduce the appearance of wrinkles. And it works. I'm not afraid to smile anymore. Now it's your turn. Today you can get a full bottle of Tautinol. You don't need a prescription, and you don't need surgery to reduce the appearance of those wrinkles. See what Tautinol can do for you and your confidence. It sure gave me something to smile about.
For your risk-free bottle of Tautinol, call 1-800-894-5152. That's 1-800-894-5152. Tautinol is the non-invasive way to reduce the appearance of wrinkles. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-894-5152. That's 1-800-894-5152.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that the United Nations has never settled disputes, but always makes them worse? Our own ambassador to the United Nations in 1982 admitted such. Did you know that the United Nations ignores communist atrocities, but always targets non-communist nations and their leaders for overthrow? We would like to help you understand why these things are happening and how they fulfill Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Just request your free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Craig Roberts, investigating the Oklahoma City bombing. All this new stuff's come out. Walk us through this, because I was talking to you during the break, and it goes right back to the government, right back to George Bush Sr. Please continue.
Well, you know, what we couldn't figure out was we had eyewitnesses at the scene who saw Middle Easterners. They saw them standing in front of the main front door of the building, two guys in blue jogging suits who ran when and they held the parking place for McVeigh to drive up in the Ryder truck. But two people got out of the Ryder truck, and we now know that there might be possibly three, but we won't know until we get our hands on the videotape, if we ever can. Or there's actually two or three videotapes. We know McVeigh got out, but we also know another guy got out of Middle Eastern extraction, who Jana Davis says is a guy named Al-Husseini Hussein, or Hussein Al-Husseini, depending on which ID card you read, and that he was involved in a group of 12 guys that we know of and can name and did name to the FBI in reports that were directly tied to Iraq. They were former Republican Guards. One of them was a lieutenant Republican Guard captured west of Basra and brought to this country with 3,500 or more Iraqis that POWs that that surrendered to us that we brought over here instead of sending back and settled all over the country in 10 and 12 man groups, which is a real convenient way to have terrorist cells all over the place. This was done during the Bush Sr. and the Clinton administration, both through Carlisle Barracks in Pennsylvania. So I'm looking at all this and going, something's just not right here. And we've got all this Middle Eastern stuff, and by, I think it's Sunday, they raided Nichols' brother's farm. They'd found Nichols by then. He'd already turned himself in. And then they raided his brother's farm up in Michigan. And all of a sudden, the news media comes out with this big blitz campaign against the right wing, the militia, radio talk show host, ad infinitum, and totally ignores all of the Middle Eastern connection that we've got. It's all the right wing, it's all the militia, it's all these wackos out here with guns and so on and so forth. We had absolutely no evidence going that direction. We had no evidence of any militia or militia member being involved in this thing or anything else. So I knew there was something wrong. Well, I wanted to know what was happening here because this was ruining the case. This is not where we were, you know, we were going. And so I started doing some checking through my media contacts, and they were coming out of two places. All this press release and this pressure on Washington on the Justice Department was coming out of the Southern Poverty Law Center down there with Morris Dees, which, interestingly enough, crops up later on in the Trinidad.
Yeah, you said that 10 years later. I mean, you said that 10 years ago. 10 years later, now the documents have come out incriminating them. Talk about that now.
Okay, well, Trinidad comes up with documents that he puts together, and it looks like they had someone inside of Elohim City before this thing ever happened, and they knew in advance that something was going to happen. And we think that someone may have been Andreas Strassmeyer. And you know, I mean, if we jump to Strassmeyer, there's another strange case. But before I do that, let me...
Well, it's now admitted he was brought in by the CIA, and then we have Jane Graham, the head of HUD, seeing him and one other white guy planting large sticks of gray butter.
Right, they're putting what she called was putty and cable between the putty on the columns in the parking area.
So we got Arabs running around brought in by the government. We've got white supremacist camps, and then we've got all of this swirling around, and then a connection to the Philippines right back to Bin Laden and CIA.
Right. If you follow Nichols, he made we don't know how many trips to the Philippines, to Cebu City and Manila, and he met with members of Abu Sayyaf, including a guy named Sheikh Khalid Mohammed, who was Osama bin Laden's left-hand man out of Pakistan. And we follow bin Laden, and before he had al-Qaeda, he was working for the CIA against the Russians in Afghanistan with what they call the Foreign Arab Group. And they were being financed by opium being grown by the Northern Alliance. I mean, it's the same old ball players with, you know, wearing different uniform.
And then they use al-Qaeda in 98 to attack the Serbs, and that's admitted. Boy, al-Qaeda really is always helping. Now al-Qaeda in Iraq is admittedly attacking Iran, but then they say Iran is al-Qaeda when they're really Shiite. How dumb do they think the public is?
Well, they think we're pretty dumb. I mean, this stuff comes out, and it's blame everything on the boogeyman. You know, we don't know who he is, but we know he's big, he's ugly, and he's out there. That's kind of the direction that went. Well, we followed it to the Philippines, but then we go the other direction. And I got a call one day from my Fed contact, and he says, "Have you ever heard of Elohim City?" And I said, "No. Where? Why? Where's that at?" And he says, "In Oklahoma." I says, "Well, I've been here for 40 years, and I've never heard of it." I said, where's it supposed to be? He says, well, we're not sure, but we think it's in eastern Oklahoma. Well, I got out the map. It's not on the map, you know, and I started checking around. I couldn't find anything about it. And it was later, the media started coming up with these things with Elohim City, and they started looking in that direction, and come to find out, I knew of one person who had a trailer over there and lived over there for a while, and he was a real instigator, and that was Dennis Mahon.
All right, stay there. We're going to talk about all this when we get back. This is important to understand history, folks. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
This is Elizabeth Border, author of the two-book set, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. I wrote these books because I believe that every American should have the vital chemtrails research info. I was much heartened and encouraged when a radio listener recently wrote me, quote, "You are truly a great writer, so clear and powerful and thorough in your communication. You have the strength to forge ahead in the midst of darkness, and you also believe in the power of goodness and truth." I hope you listeners will order these crucial books. Send your check for $32 post-paid to Radio Liberty, P.O. Box 969, Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. $32 to Radio Liberty, Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. Or call 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Government is best which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625 for BioSolutions.
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying. Way they've always done before.
Back in the 70s, we had more than 130 bombings, killing police, military, you name it, in the United States. And because they were real terror attacks, the media was encouraged to play it down and not even cover it. In many cases, not even covering it. And so the average American isn't aware of it. Now you have attacks when they're government-sponsored, and it is unending hype, unending hysteria. We've got to change the way we live. We've got to submit. It's obvious who the terrorists are and who's using the terrorism. And bottom line, from all of my years studying this, and we have one of the experts on right now, it's classic black op. You've got backup teams. You've got confusion. Is it the Corsicans? You know, is it the Italian mob? Is it the Cubans? Is it the... And then, of course, it's all those people hired by the larger group, i.e. Black Ops, CIA, shadow government. And in this case, you've got these Iraqis. You've got connections with funding right through the CIA through bin Laden. You've got white supremacists in the background who it's admitted are CIA brought in and protected. When Arabs are flying out of the country with jogging suits and bomb materials, they're told to be released by the Clintons. All of this with the white guys inside planting the bomb, Sheen, in the maintenance shaft that she'd take to get up to work quicker and for exercise. Jane Graham there at HUD on the top floor. And so basically, and Craig Roberts, tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, but from all the intel I've got, and this is the way they've worked in the past, if something would have gone wrong, they would have then grabbed some Arab and said that they were behind it. But the plan A was to go with, after they got the official story out, that it was the evil militias are attacking us and we've got to take all the guns and bring in the New World Order. And Oklahoma, of course, had passed a legislative law to not support the UN integration and not support the New World Order and North American Union and the rest of it. And so they were very mad at Oklahoma as well, and it was to get the heartland in line. Clinton couldn't get his crime bill passed. What do you say to that that take?
Well, you know, when I was in Washington that year on the 4th and 5th of April, I talked to congressmen. I was before the subcommittee on the judiciary in there. I talked to all kinds of other people in Washington. No one on that side of the Potomac had ever heard of a militia. No one knew anything about it. I said, you know, you guys, you don't understand. All these gun laws that you're passing just one after another is scaring everybody across the country. And you go out in the Midwest, everybody's got guns, and they're looking at you like, you know, you're a bunch of Yankees out here who are out of contact with reality, and you're wanting to disarm us, and we're not going to put up with it. So what they do is they form groups, and they form militias, and they do it under what they think the Constitution allows them to do. And they're going, you're crazy. That can't be happening. So jump from there to 2 weeks later, and all of a sudden, the militias are at fault, and they knew about it all along, and they're going to go after them, and they're going to go after the guns, and they're going to pass more gun laws, and so on and so forth. And immediately following that, what else did we have? We had the Omnibus Crime Control Act of 1995 get passed. It had been on hang fire forever, and they ramrodded that thing through on the tail of this. So what they do is they use the Reichstag fire mentality to put a scare in everybody, and they say, we've got to do this. We've got, just like the Patriot Act, we've got to do this. We've got to get it through, and they overreact to the whole thing, and if you look at the original draft of that Omnibus Crime Control Act, if you remember back, Alex, they had stuff in there that was absolutely incredible. Not only did they have the extended magazine ban and the assault weapons ban and a whole bunch of other stuff like that, but they had a deal in there to hire Hong Kong policemen and bring them to this country and make police officers out of them, because Hong Kong was getting ready to revert to the Red Chinese. They had plans, and they had a law in there that said it was a federal offense with a death sentence for an American to kill a foreign national on U.S. soil. Now stop and think about that for a minute. We've got murder laws all over the place, but this one was a federal offense to kill a foreign national on U.S. soil. Now, that's not some German tourist landing at Miami that gets mugged. What they're talking about here, I think, in my mind, it's a blanket coverage that says if they brought in, Chinese UN troops or Rwandan UN troops or whatever, and they got out here in your part of the country or my part of the country, and somebody says, we're not going to have these guys running around telling us what to do, and so you go shoot them or you go whack them, then the next thing you know, you're facing a federal offense by our own government for resisting borders, for repelling borders. And so that's the only feature of that I could figure out what was happening. So all of these things were coming in on the tail of Oklahoma City. Plus, the media onslaught was incredible, got totally away from every piece of evidence we did have, and went in directions where we had no evidence whatsoever. So we ended up looking at this Elohim City thing. And, of course, they went back to when there was the Covenant Arm and Sword of the Lord group over in Arkansas and Richard Snell that ended up being executed the very same day and then picked up by Robert Millar and brought back to Elohim City and buried. Reverend Millar buried him. And so I started researching Elohim City through my own contacts. And come to find out, most of them are family members, most of them are related or intermarried. They stayed pretty much to themselves. They never really bothered anybody until a guy named Andrea Strassmeyer showed up one day. And he was brought in through Texas and ends up there. And he's he tells them that he wants to help them defend themselves so they don't become another Waco. Well, if I had never heard of this place, I'll guarantee nobody else had ever heard of this place. So how are they going to be another Waco? They didn't even, all they had
to do. You always got to watch the guy that shows up to be the head of your security and then wards everyone off to protect you. But I tell you, these hillbillies buy into it every time.
Well, and he tells them, you know, sell your deer rifles and buy SKSs, and we'll get out here and I'll show you how to march and I'll show you how to patrol and we'll do all this stuff. So we start checking on him, and he turns out to be a lieutenant in the Panzer Grenadiers, and his dad was the secretary for Helmut Cole, who was, you know, top of the German government.
Out he's high-level German intelligence.
Yeah.
That's been in mainstream news.
Yeah, and we're finding this out back then. I'm saying, this dog don't hunt. There's something wrong here.
Yeah, we got German intelligence. We got Bin Laden connections. We got Iraqis brought in by Bush Sr. and Clinton. We got people inside the building. This is just an international crime network carrying this attack out.
Oh, and it gets deeper. We got Dennis Mahon, who was a nobody. He was a rabble-rouser. He was the grand dragon of the KKK in Tulsa for years, and then later gets mixed up with the war, the White Aryan Resistance, which is Metzger out of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
And by the way, it just came out a few months ago, front page of the Miami Herald, that they had this big, huge rally, and it turned out feds were running it, the skinheads. Folks, I've been to these rallies. They're complete feds.
Well, most of them up there, the rallies, five guys show up. You know, they got more deputies guarding the road than they got guys that show up. Metzger, turns out, his whole White Aryan Resistance, we find out, is pretty much owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I'm going, what? What are you talking about? I went up to Coeur d'Alene.
And now the documents have come out. Now, I mean, they were handled. Look, and well, then that goes right back to Israel, Craig. I mean, when you talk about Southern Poverty Law Center.
Well, because they're connected to Abe Foxman with the.
Yeah, I'm really getting sick of this.
Yeah, with the that bunch over there. But what was really bothered me, or I thought was hilarious. So I went up to Coeur d'Alene to investigate that end of it. And up Sandpoint in that area. And what it was at one time, Metzger and his whole group get sued by the Southern Poverty Law Center and loses the lawsuit. Now, you got Metzger and three or four little old ladies that stuff envelopes and make a newsletter to send out to all these skinheads. They send dues in, and the dues are intercepted, and it goes over to the lawsuit. So
and then they implode the whole facility and give it right over to the people that owned it to begin with.
No, it's incredible. Well, then we find out that Strassmeyer was brought into this country, but we don't know if it was the SPLC or whoever brought him in, but we do know that when he was taken out of the country. Even though and Trinidad got these documents, the documents showed that the FBI knew that he'd left Oklahoma and he was hiding up at Kurt Lyons' place up in Black Mountain, North Carolina. And Kurt Lyons was a lawyer who defended the Waco survivors, and they all got 40 years. He did such a good job. And he was the one, he did all the right wing and I say right wing, it's not really right wing at all, it's National Socialist. He does all this law work for the KKK and all these wacko outfits. And then he, in turn, hides Strassmeyer out. Now, wait a minute. Trinidad comes up with documents showing that what he believes is that the Southern Poverty Law Center was getting information from Strassmeyer, and they had possibly been instrumental in placing him into Elohim City through a family named Eaton, E-A-T-O-N. At the same time this is going on, when he goes to Elohim City, there's a guy named George Eaton who is putting out a newsletter that was really amateur. It looked like it was cranked off of a mimeograph machine about all kinds of New World Order stuff and all kinds of UN, 10,000 Russian troops hiding, in the suburbs of Denver. And I mean, all this stuff he was putting
out. Yeah, they always put out disinfo to then discredit us.
Yeah. Then they take it to gun shows, and what he does is he gives them away free, and he has you sign up for the newsletters. Well, where does that list go? Well, he was in Pondre, Idaho when he first started these newsletters out. He ends up disappearing from there, and he shows up in Uniontown, Arkansas, which is right across the border from Elohim City. During the investigation, David Hoffman and I, David wrote the book, Oklahoma City Bombing and the Politics of Terror, David and I went down to Dallas, and we interviewed a gal named Ishelle Torres, who was from Nicaragua. And her dad was the head of the PLO in Nicaragua, PLO contacts. And she'd grown up in a communist youth camp there and had escaped and made her way to the United States. And she was staying with a family in Dallas. And we interviewed her at that place. Come to find out, that house and that family was George Eaton's brother. What a small world.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. And Strassmeyer evidently had gone through there. So now Strassmeyer's in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and the next thing we know, he gets shuttled out through Mexico by that bunch and ends up back in Germany, and no one ever touches him, no one ever goes after him, no one ever questions him or anything else. Now let's back the tape up a little bit, and let me tell you one of the things that did happen while he was here. While he was at Elohim City, he had a station wagon. He let his roommate borrow it. Roommate goes to town, gets caught at an OHP roadblock. He doesn't have a driver's license, so they impound the car. The car goes to the record service. The guy opens the car up, and he inventories what's inside, and he finds a briefcase. He opens a briefcase, and he finds letters that come from some colonel at Fort Bragg, State Department, ATF, all kinds of different things. And so he goes to report this to the OHP that, hey, I don't know who this guy is here that owns this briefcase, but here's a bunch of important stuff. He gets a phone call from the governor's office, Keating, in Oklahoma. He gets a phone call from Fort Bragg, and they're telling him, don't look at anything, put everything back, and give the car back. You don't want any part of this. And somewhere in my files, I've even got the newspaper. They had a big newspaper article about this record driver here that came out. And so here, who is Strassmeyer that he can draw this much heat on down when his car gets
Well, it's
out.
Admitted his dad was like number two in the German government.
Right. So we find out later on that, I'm talking about, by this point, I've pretty much divorced myself from helping anybody else other than the three or four people I'm working with in Oklahoma City.
Now, since this time, had they killed Top of the Year yet?
No, not Yakey yet. That was a little bit later. But I was working with Jana Davis and Hoffman and Jimmy Rothstein and a few other guys down there, and we were turning up more stuff than we knew what to do with. We didn't know what it all meant yet, and we're finding out that this a whole Elohim City deal. There's just something wrong here, and we got Dennis Mahon. We find out who's making trips back and forth, and he's living over there with a girl named Carol Howe. Turns out Carol Howell, as we all know, is an ATF informant. She told them ahead of time.
And she tells them they're going to bomb Oklahoma City, and then they try to indict her to stop her from warning people.
Right. Now, a little bit later on, we find out, and I'm working with our own Special Investigations Division people on this right now, we find out that there's some dancers at Lady Godiva's club in Tulsa, which is a strip club, who claim that there are some guys that came in a yellow Ryder truck, parked it in the parking lot, came in, was drinking beer, and was bragging about what was going to happen on the 19th. And that one of them was McVeigh, one of them was Strassmeyer, and they described Dennis Mahon as being in there as well, plus some other people, one of Mideastern extraction. This gal, her name, her stage name was Sean T, and I don't know what her real name was, within a few days of this coming out in the news, and I think it was even on television, within a few days, she's found dead in her apartment, had committed suicide. And so I got the crime scene photos, and I said, from my SID guy, and I said, Randy, I said, have you looked at all these photos? He said, well, I just scanned through them. I thought you'd like to see them. I said, yeah. I said, but here we got a gal who's nude, leaning on the floor, leaning up against the couch like she's resting, and an open bottle of pills. He said, yeah, we think she's overdosed. I said, well, there's a problem. I said, look at this other picture. And there's another picture taken across the room, and there was a sliding patio glass door, and right next to it on the wall was bloody handprints. I says, you don't get bloody handprints by taking pills.
Unbelievable.
He says, I think we better go back and look at this again. I said, this girl was whacked. It's a typical deal. Try to make it, write it up as a suicide. And so they didn't take it real serious because they didn't put a lot of credibility in dancers. And I said, you know, I said, when somebody gets killed, when they mention a high profile case, I would consider it more than just, you know, being a dancer. This gal knew something. She was talking about something and they shut her up. That's what happened, Randy. Well, it wasn't long after that that Terrence Yakey comes up dead. And we've talked about that before, and we know that he was beaten, slashed, and shot.
Recap, he says, I got feds following me, and next he's found tortured to death.
He was the either the first or the second officer to respond and go into the building right after the explosions. And he pulled a lot of people out. He's a great big, strong black guy. He got an officer of the year before, or was up for it for that year. And he couldn't believe what he saw in the building before anything had been altered. And so he ended up trying to tell his own department, hey, you know, there's more to this case than meets the eye, and we need to look at it. And they kept telling him, you stay out of it. It's a federal case. It's federal property. We don't belong there. Shut up and go back and, you know, write traffic tickets or whatever. And he wouldn't do it. He just, it bothered him so much that he got in with some of the survivors and was telling them at their house that, hey, you know, this is what I saw. What did you guys see? And they were comparing notes and so on and so forth. So he started working the case on his own, and he kept going back to his supervisor and saying, look, this is what I found. This is what I found. And they started threatening him, say, either you back off and leave this stuff alone. We don't want to know anything about it. This is a federal case. You're going to get in trouble. And so after the break, I'll tell you what happened to him.
And, folks, I know I said I got a call a little while ago. You notice I'm listening, too. We're going to go to your calls. We'll finish up when we get back, and then we'll start your calls in the next hour. Chris, Randall, Judy, Mike, John, many others, stay with us.
After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is unavailable. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription fill. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCart.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCart.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns. Here that build the death planes. Here that build all the bombs. Here that hide behind walls.
Terror Storm, special edition, 17 minutes of powerful information. BBC reporting Building 7 had fallen before it did. That's just a few minutes of the added information. It is so jam-packed. The History of Government-Sponsored Terror, available at a huge discount on Amazon.com right now. In stores nationwide, Borders, Barnes & Nobles, you name it, it is available right now. And it's very important when it first hits stores today that the one or two copies the stores place get sold out, because then they place more, and then the generally dumb public that's not aware of what's happening has a chance to come across those. And that's why I have a distributor. That's why I do it. I actually lose money when I'm the only source of the videos. We don't sell as many, but then we're able to actually pay for films. We have not even paid off Terror Storm yet, the $100,000 it took to make it a year ago. We may someday, but that isn't what matters. They're in stores, discounted. We then get a fraction of it, but that's fine. And here I am pointing out where you can buy the videos where I don't even really make a profit. And I'm doing that because I want to get the information out. See, that's why we do this. So please, go to stores, buy the new Terror Storm. Plus, you can do it with anonymity. That's a lot of you like that. And even if you're not, if you've already bought it off Amazon or Infowars.com, that's fine. Just call the stores and see if they've got it to create interest and to make sure that if they don't have it, they do order it. Because we put a lot of trouble into these films, and all we want is for people to see it. That's all we ask for. If you want to see it in really high quality and download it to disk and burn it to disk, get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, 15 cents a day, or call 888-253-3139 to get Terror Storm, and you can get America Freedom to Fascism for $9.95 with it when you do. But I really do hope that all of you will support us, and we'll go to Amazon.com and buy it. I want to drive it up into, it's been as high as number 8 before last year. I want to try to do that again because that's a very important benchmark, and then it gets reviewed, and then it reaches more people. So we do the blood, sweat, and tears to make the film. We hope you'll support us now. Craig Roberts, finish up the story about Terrence Yagi, then we'll break for 70 seconds and come back and go directly to phone calls.
Well, Yagi had gone to some of the people he was working with and showed them what he had come up with, and he was accumulating all of his stuff, and he kept it in his briefcase. Well, his house got his apartment got broken into, his car got broken into, but he kept his briefcase with him all the time. And this one particular day, he had just left Ramona McDonald's house. She was one of the bombing victims. He said, and he was on his way to the police station when a friend called him and said, "Are we still going to dinner tonight?" And he said, "Yeah, when I get done, but I got to go by the station so they can chew my rear again. And then I'm going to take some stuff out to El Reno and put it in my mini storage, and then I'll be back. And we'll go to dinner." He says, "But at first I'm going to have to shake these feds that are following me." And a guy said, "Well, you know, what feds are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. There are two guys with sunglasses and a white sedan." He says, "I can tell a fed when I see one." And, I mean, as far as he's concerned, it could have been mafia. He doesn't know, but you know that he was. That's
how do you think they tricked him? You know, a smart, strong guy with a gun. They just said, "All right, we're federal officers, hands up." Once they had the handcuffs on, I mean, how do you? And you saw the crime scene, you saw the reports. I mean, how did this play out?
Well, it's hard to tell because it gets real obscured after that. He disappears, and he's found. His car is found the next morning in a rural area about a mile from the El Reno Federal Penitentiary, next to a big field. And
do you think they tortured him at the facility?
No. No, it happened out in the field, and because he was drugged through the field with open cuts from his car to how far, half a mile or something out in this field, across a creek, you know, over a fence, the whole bit, barbed wire fence. And when his body was finally found the next day, next morning, he had three cuts in one wrist, four in another. And if you go to my website at riflewarrior.com.
Yeah, stay there, riflewarrior.com. You've got the police diagrams, the coroner reports. We'll be right back. Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645. Hello.